Tonight we're going to begin delving into the actual manifestation card deck. And I'd like to begin by emphasizing an important point. One of the most important qualities that you can bring to this process is trust. Trust in yourself, especially, and trust in the universe. If we lack this trust in ourselves, we might not even attempt to get started. We may think, well, what's the use? This isn't going to work for me, or I'm not worthy, or some other excuse. And sometimes if we don't trust in ourselves, we go to the other extreme and we become very manipulative and we attempt to control events and to make them happen because we don't trust that they will happen on their own. So if I don't feel that I'm worthy of good things happening in my life, then I may feel a pressure to try to make those things happen. And that doesn't always turn out well, because people and events have a way of resisting pressure and manipulation. So if I were to identify an important starting point, it would be trust. Trust in the universe, especially trust in yourself. And this evening, the cards that we're going to explore are all cards that relate to this issue of trust. But let me set the scene for you a bit. In incarnational spirituality, we identify five foundational principles that in effect govern and structure all incarnational processes. The first principle is identity. Everything starts from some kind of identity possessing some form of intent and a will to be. And the second principle is that of boundary. And boundary creates a space in which the incarnational process can take place and not be dispersed. It allows for focus and coherency. The third principle is engagement, which could also be thought of as the forming of connections, the forming of relationships. If boundaries give me a place to stand within myself that is uniquely me, engagement helps me to go beyond those boundaries to connect with others. And nothing incarnates in a vacuum. Nothing incarnates entirely on its own. All incarnation may be thought of as co-incarnation, a collaborative process. And we certainly see that in ourselves. At the very least, none of us would be here physically were it not for the fact that our mother and father collaborated at least once. And in fact, most of us would not be doing what we're doing or have the life that we have if it were not for the relationships that we formed with others, the support that has come, and also at times the lack of support and the challenges and even the trauma. All these things converge to help us emerge as who we are. So all incarnation is, at heart, collaborative. The fourth principle is emergence. And this simply means that something comes into being out of the incarnational process, out of the identity, out of the boundaries, and especially out of the connectedness and engagement that could not be predicted, that is novel. It brings new information into being. Each of us brings new information into existence in the world. There's never been another person like each of you or me, and there never will be. Each of us is unique in what we have to contribute, in what we have experienced, in who we are. And it is this uniqueness that is emerging out of all the factors that come together in our lives to enable us to be who we are. So those are the four basic principles: identity, boundary, engagement, and emergence. And the fifth principle is something I call holopoiesis, which is a long word that simply means wholeness producing, the ability to create wholeness. And this is to me a driving impulse within all creation. In cosmology, there's talk about the organizing impulse within the universe, that everything seeks to be self-organizing. Small wholes converge to become greater wholes. And this wholeness-creating process is like that. It helps us to integrate. It helps us to seek coherency. It helps all the various elements and parts of who we are come together and act in unison, or hopefully in unison. So these five principles of incarnation are also found in manifestation, because essentially manifestation is an act of incarnation. It's much more an act of incarnation than it is one of attraction. For when all is said and done, what you are manifesting is a new version of yourself, a you that doesn't exist yet, but who will come into existence, who will emerge as a result of your manifestation project. I'm rather famous, or used to be famous, for using toasters as my manifestation example. And in fact, one of my classes years ago actually got me a t-shirt with a huge toaster on it. I probably should have worn it tonight, except I somehow have demanifested it and I don't know where it's gone. But even though the toaster is a rather trivial example, the you that doesn't have a toaster is different from the you that does have a toaster. The you that does have a toaster will, of course, be able to have warm bread in the morning. And whatever the consequences of that are on your mood as you start your day. At any rate, the main point here is that manifestation is a form of incarnation. And as such, we expect to find these same five principles at work. And three of the five are represented by the first four cards in our set. So we have standing, which is equivalent to identity. We have holding, which is equivalent to boundaries. And then we have energizing and co-creativity, both of which are aspects of the principle of engagement, as we'll see in a moment. The fourth principle, emergence, is the manifestation project itself. It's represented by the new you. It's represented by the inhabiting card. It's what you hope will happen. It's what you expect will happen. It's what you are planning on happening, for which purpose you are doing a manifestation project. And the fifth principle of holopoiesis, or wholeness creating, pervades the entire process. Because at every step of the manifestation process, you are engaged in creating wholeness. Wholeness within yourself, wholeness between you and your world, wholeness between you and the object of your manifestation project, wholeness between you and the new you. So all five principles are present in the manifestation deck. But the first four cards, our topic for this evening, represents the first three principles. So let's begin with the first one, which is standing. And the best way for me to introduce these cards and to tell you what they're about is actually to lead you in exercises and have you practice them. Before I do, I however, want to emphasize that the purpose of these four cards, and in the deck they're called the Hallow cards, they're the Hallows of the Self. The purpose of these cards is not because they are magic in themselves, it's because they remind us of the creative capacities within us and of why we can trust ourselves. They're there to remind us of what it is in us, natively, innately, that gives us reason to trust ourselves in beginning a manifestation project. Keeping that in mind, then, let's look at the standing card. What I'd like you to do, I'm going to lead you in an exercise. And in this exercise, you will be standing up. So make sure that there's, don't stand up yet, but make sure that there's room around you where you can stand comfortably. So let's begin. I'll ask you all to close your eyes, and we're going to take a moment of silence together to compose ourselves, to let the cares of the day fall away, to be present in this moment, to honor the space that we are in, the rooms that surround us, to honor and bless ourselves, to honor and bless each other. And to honor and bless that which we are undertaking as our activity this evening. And now I would like you to stand up, keeping your eyes closed, your focus inward. And as you stand, be aware of the physical sensation of standing, the felt sense of being on your feet and upright. and be aware of the work that your body just did, that your muscles did, to move you from a seated position to a standing one. And be aware of the work your muscles are doing to keep you upright, to maintain your balance so that you don't fall over. In standing, you are asserting a primal act of rising up against the power of gravity that would pull you down. You are celebrating your strength. You are celebrating your ability to be upright. And feel within yourself the power of this uprightness. How standing singles you out and expresses your individuality. We talk about it. We say, stand for what you believe. Stand up and be counted. When you stand, you proclaim that you are present. It says to the world, I am here. I am ready to make choices and decisions. This is my identity. This is my sovereignty. Take note of me. And as you stand, celebrate your humanness. As a human being, you are an upright being. It is one of the characteristics that defines Homo sapiens. And in standing, we reenact a primal emergence, an arising from the mass of nature, from vegetative and animal states, into a realm of thinking and imagining. Be aware of your hands and just appreciate the fact that you do not need to use them for locomotion. You are a creature that stands on 2 feet, not 4, and because of this, your hands are freed. They don't have to support you, but now they are free to manipulate, to touch, to express your thinking and imagination. They are free to create. Just take a moment to appreciate this freedom. The freedom of your hands, the freedom of standing upright. A freedom built in to who you are as a human being. And when you stand, think of your spine, your upright spine. In a way, it is your magical staff. It is the axis mundi, the central axis of your personal world. Metaphorically, it is the traditional wizard staff along which the power of creative energy flows. And the centers of energy within your body resonate with the cosmos. Your energy field organizes itself around your upright spine. standing, you are the incarnate link between heaven and earth. Along your spine, energy rises to the sky and descends to the earth. Light ascends and descends. There is circulation, a marriage of heaven and earth and matter and spirit. As you stand, both the personal and the transpersonal meet in you, giving birth to something unique and individual and creative. All of this is there as part of you in your standing. When you stand, you are like the first human that ever stood. You are in direct resonance with that most ancient ancestor. And with that standing marked a transition into a new way of being. A way of greater freedom, of greater thought and imagination, of greater participation creatively with the world around you. And so when you stand at the beginning of a manifestation project, when you look at this card and you place it down before you, you are resonating with this ancient ancestor and claiming your power to stand as the beginning of a creative force that will bring into being the new you. Honor and blessing to our standing. And now you may sit down. But as you sit, carry with you the felt sense, the memory of this, of the power revealed by your standing. The nice thing about this exercise is that you can do it anywhere. Nobody has to know what you're doing. Just standing in a line, you can go into this process and affirm and acknowledge the magic and wonder and creative intelligence underlying the capacity to stand, and how this simple act opens up a new world, just as it opened up a new world for our ancestors. Now the second card is holding, and in a way you've already begun this exercise. Incarnation is all about holding. The body holds the soul, so to speak. At least it's a useful metaphor. We hold each other. We hold our desires and our thoughts and feelings. And in manifestation, we are holding an expectation that something that we wish to be part of our lives, and indeed that a new form of ourselves that comes into being when this, whatever it is part of our lives, You can hold this. You can hold the expectation it will come about. And this is very powerful. Now, all these exercises, they're not like doing Tai Chi or a magical exercise where you're trying to raise energy, or a martial art exercise where you're seeking to raise your ki and direct it in some way. These exercises are more illustrations, and if they're designed to do anything, it is to convey an experience of a felt sense. So what is the felt sense of your standing? Because you could call that felt sense to mind, whether you're standing or not. A person confined to a wheelchair, unable to get on his or her feet, can still experience in herself or in himself the felt sense of uprightness, the inner quality of standing. So in a similar way, we're now looking for the felt sense within your body, within your mind and heart, of the quality of holding. And just as standing is very simple to do, we have everything we need at hand in order to arrive at this felt sense. This is true for holding too. The image of holding is that of a cup. And traditionally, the archetype of the cup is found in many spiritual and esoteric traditions. The Holy Grail, the cauldron, the magical cup that holds wisdom. And basically the power of holding is to make something available that would not otherwise be available, if for no other reason than it would be too dispersed or even too overwhelming. So imagine the convenience that you have when you take a cup and fill it with water and bring the water to your mouth to drink. And how much more challenging that would be if you had to do it with your hands, or if you had to drink directly from a running stream or sticking your head under a faucet. You certainly can do it, but it's much more convenient to be able to have this container, this cup, that gives you the tool of a space of holding and makes the water more accessible and available. So we're going to go through another exercise, a similar one, to come to an experience together of the felt sense of holding, really the felt sense of being a cup. And it's very easy to do. So once again, I would ask you to close your eyes. And this time you can remain comfortably seated. And again, we take a moment just to appreciate and enjoy silence together, and to appreciate and enjoy each other's company. When you sit down, your body forms a lap. And a lap itself is a kind of cup. Imagine children climbing into a lap. We've all done it. Those of us who are parents have experienced it with our own children. The lap becomes a place of love and comfort and healing and transformation. Sometimes nothing more is needed to help a child in distress than for it to be held on a lap. So now be aware of the simple physical sensation, the felt sense of being a lap. You can feel how relaxed it is to be seated, but at the same time, feel the power and receptivity represented by your lap. Feel the power of being a space of holding. In your lap, you are forming a space of comfort, of healing, of encouragement and upliftment. It's a place that you may have experienced with your parents. It's a place you may have experienced with your children. It's a place where negativity can be received and transformed, because with your lap, you create a presence of peace and love and strength. But your body is not the only thing that creates a lap. Think for a moment of your mind. Your mind is also a kind of lap, a cup that holds your thoughts. And as you sit, let your mind go beyond the content it may be holding, beyond any thoughts that might be in your thinking at the moment, and simply appreciate the power of holding thoughts, that your mind creates the space where thoughts can exist. Appreciate your mental space, the spaciousness of your mind lap. If thoughts intrude into this space, you simply welcome them and let them sit in your mental lap, and then move on. Remember that you are holding the thoughts. They are not holding you. You create and own the space they occupy. And you have the power, through the boundaries and filters and thresholds that you determine, to decide what sits in your mental lap. So just appreciate that inner space. If we look at this from a magical perspective, the cup is one of the oldest of all magical images. It is the grail of the sacred, the cauldron of magic and wisdom, the cooking pot that creates nourishment, and most fundamentally of all, it is the womb, that organic cup from which each of us comes. And your lap holds this magic. You hold this magic. When you think of yourself possessing this power of holding, you come into resonance with the primal container, which ultimately is the universe itself, which holds all things. As long as human beings have nourished their children, the lap has been a place of love, a place of safety, a place to receive comfort, a place of healing, a place even of regeneration. Such a lap exists in your heart as well. For through love, you can extend the power of your holding into the world around you. To hold what you see with love, to hold what you hear with love, to hold what you touch and taste and smell with love. You are innately this magical cauldron, this grail, this sacred and redemptive space, this creative space. In the context of manifestation, this card of holding represents your ability to hold the desire, the image, the intentionality of your mind and heart, to hold that which you wish to manifest in a creative and loving space. In exactly the same way that the living universe holds all of us, all life, all potential in its lap, imbuing us with the power to grow, to evolve, to unfold, and to thrive. So just appreciate and experience the felt sense of holding, the felt sense of being a lap. And know that just like the power of your uprightness, the power of your standing identity, you bring to your manifestation project the power to hold. The power of the womb. The third halo is that of engagement. I'm sorry, it's energizing. It's one of the aspects of engagement. So certainly we have energy in our standing, in our identity, we bring the energy of who we are to our manifestation project. And there's energy in our holding and in the boundaries that enable us to hold a focus and to be a womb for a specific unfoldment, a specific birth, if you wish. But as I said earlier, this energy really doesn't go anywhere unless it can connect with the world around it and participate. As I believe I said last week, manifestation has a great many moving parts. I'll tell you a little story. A number of years ago, I wandered into a bookstore owned by a friend of mine here where I live. And we got to chatting, and I was browsing, and I saw this book on the table, and it was a book that I already owned. And suddenly I felt this impulse to buy it. And I thought to myself, well, why would I want to buy it? I already own it. But the impulse was very insistent. So I did in fact buy it and left the bookstore thinking, I wonder what that's about. And I tossed the book into the back seat of my car and went about my business for the day. And later that evening, Julie and I went off to a gathering, and the book was still lying there in the back seat. And in the gathering, there was a woman with whom I struck up a conversation, and in the course of the conversation, she said, you know, I've really been trying to find this particular book, and I haven't had any luck. And I thought, okay, this is why I got it. I said, you know, this is really interesting because I have the book in my back seat, and you're welcome to it. Obviously, this is your manifestation. So I was simply a link in a chain through which energy could flow to bring about a manifestation for her. And the interesting thing is how tenuous this link is, because I certainly could have said, and it would have been the logical thing and the cheaper thing to say, I don't need to buy this book, I've already got it. And it just so happened in that moment, I listened to my inner promptings. That hasn't always been the case. But in this case, it was. And because of that, I was able to be part of this woman's manifestation, which was felt really good, felt wonderful and magical to be part of that chain. So when we're setting into motion a manifestation project, we are almost by definition reaching out to engage with the larger universe. And that's going to invoke energy. There's energy in those connections. And I want to energize that. I want to be aware of the energy that I can bring to this process. You know, I'm not standing passively. I'm not just a passive holder. I'm bringing my energy to this process, and I'm open to the energy that's circulating through the universe. So, we're going to do a third exercise. And I would like you to close your eyes. Just take a moment to compose ourselves inwardly. We've been standing, we've been holding. And now I would like us each to be aware of ourselves as a source of energy. And think of all the ways that energy enters your life and becomes part of your life. You eat a meal, and you take in the calories, and the calories are burned in your cells, and energy is liberated, and you are able to do all the things that you need to do physically. You hear music that excites you and delights you, and you are energized emotionally, maybe physically as well. You read something that's interesting and fascinating, and your mind is stimulated, and it is energized. You spend time in meditation, perhaps, or contemplation, and feeling your oneness with the great generative mystery behind creation, or simply feeling your oneness with all the life that surrounds you in your environment. And there's energy in that. You feel uplifted. You may feel enthused. You may feel a rush of inspiration and stimulation. So many ways we take energy into ourselves, and equally, so many ways we put energy out into our world. We are energy generators, sources of energy. And that's what this card represents. It says, we don't have to depend on an outside source to bring energy into our manifestation project, to provide the enthusiasm, the passion, the belief, the conviction, whatever it takes. We have that in ourselves. We are sources of energy. But at the same time, the universe showers us with energy coming from many sources outside with whom we are connected or in relationship. So there's much that we can draw upon. So here's a very simple exercise. And you'll be seated for this one. And I want you to put your feet flat on the floor. And I would like you to place your hands flat on whatever surface you are sitting on. So it could be the arms of the chair or the cushion of the sofa. In some way, I want you to have contact between your hands and what you are seated on, and between your feet and the floor. Think of yourself as a star, as a radiant source, just like the sun, giving off light, giving off energy. And in this case, giving off an energy of love, or of appreciation, of honor, of attention. And imagine that your legs and feet are conduits of this loving energy flowing into the floor. And your arms and hands are conduits of this loving energy flowing into the into what you are seated upon, the chair, the sofa, whatever it may be. If you're sitting on the floor, then the floor is getting a double dose from you. And as you feel this energy flowing from you into the floor and into your seat, simply think to yourself, in addressing the floor and addressing your chair or sofa or whatever it is, I'm sharing my energy with you. We are both part of this universe. And I am giving you a blessing from my energy. And once you have a sense of communicating this, then just go still and see what comes back to you. What flows back into you from the floor? What flows back into you from your chair? Maybe you feel nothing, maybe you feel something. We'll hope it's something, because we are always in these reciprocal circulatory relationships with the things around us. And in effect, what you are doing is saying, I'm acknowledging you as an ally, and I give you from my human energy, and I invite you to give back to me your support for the project I'm undertaking. And thus to realize that the energy that goes into your manifestation project, part of it comes from you, but part of it comes from the world around you, from the allies you create and with which you engage. It is, after all, as we have discussed, a living universe. And if you reach out to it in partnership, it will reach back. And so with this card, we are summoning our energy into the focus that we are holding for the intent that is within our identity of that which we wish to manifest. And the final card is the card of co-creating. And in a sense, we've already been discussing that. These two cards of energizing and co-creating are, as I've said, both aspects of our capacity to engage collaboratively with the world around us. But the point here is that all manifestation is an act of co-creation, as I've said. My little story of the book was an example of that. I've manifested a number of things in my life, I would have had no idea how to bring them into my life, and yet suddenly they appear, they're there. But it's not magic. Somebody has enabled that to happen. Finhorn was, as I said in the first session, built on the principles of manifestation. But sometimes these principles took a peculiar turn. So for example, Peter would hold a particular need of the communities in his mind and ask the community to do so as well, and to visualize that need being met. And specifically, in this one occasion I'm thinking of, Peter needed a car. He needed his old car was breaking down. He didn't have money to purchase a car, but he needed a car for the work that he was doing. And a woman came forward in the community and said, Peter, I will give you a car. And she did. And afterwards, Peter said to the community, let us all give thanks to God for this manifestation. And of course, that is wonderful, to give thanks to the sacred for the manifestation, but also needed to give thanks to the woman, because she was the co-creative link that allowed this manifestation to take place. Peter would tell all these wonderful stories of manifestation, and they were all true. I saw miraculous things happening in the community, but there was always some form of human agency involved. Somebody came up with the money, somebody came up with the needed building materials, somebody came up with the effort. In fact, my very favorite manifestation story about Findhorn is a de-manifestation story, because Peter, in our sanctuary in the morning, he would announce what the manifestation projects were, and he'd say, well, okay, we need somebody to lay tiles because we're laying tiles in this building and nobody in the community has the expertise to do it. So what we need is somebody to lay tiles. We need to manifest a tile layer. So almost right on cue, I mean, this could be uncanny. The next morning, a man stood up in sanctuary and said, you know, he was introducing himself as newcomers did, and he said, I am a professional tile layer. So, of course, Peter's antenna immediately went up. This is the answer to our prayers, to our manifestation. And I happened to be standing with Peter when he accosted this gentleman coming out of the sanctuary. And Peter was basically handing out work assignments. And the man said, what would you like me to do? And Peter said, well, we want you to lay tiles. And he said, oh, no, I do that for a living. I'm not going to lay tiles here. I want to work in the garden or someplace else. And Peter said, no, you see, it's God's plan that you lay tiles, because we need a tile layer. You're a tile layer. You have arrived just at the moment we need a tile layer. We've manifested you. And he said, no, you haven't. And he left the community and never came back. So there's something, this whole principle of co-creativity is to be aware that we are participants in this larger living universe that's filled with other sentient beings who have their own agendas and their own projects and their own unfoldment and their own sovereignty. And manifestation is not about trying to manipulate them to get what we want. Manifestation is about discovering the pathways of co-creativity. And those pathways are definitely there, and we have the capacity to do that. So these four cards, called the Hallows of the Self, remind us of who we are as creative beings setting forth on this journey of manifestation. And they remind us of what we can trust in ourselves and why we should trust ourselves and trust the living universe that we are a part of. We lay out these four cards in the beginning of the process, not because they're magical, but we lay them out to remind us that we step into this process with power, with presence, with trust. And these cards tell us why. So thank you all. That would be all I will say this evening. And again, if any of you have questions about what I've shared tonight that you would like to send to me via Rue, please feel free to do that. And next week we will go into the next set of cards, but tonight I send each of you my blessings and my honor and acknowledgement of each of you as individuals standing in your sovereignty and embodying what these four cards represent. Many blessings.